and to greet you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're not stranger. It's good tidings. We just from up the street, and about three of us here today to fellowship with you, and we count this a privilege. The brother mentioned the gospel. The Apostle Paul said, "But as we are allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not to please man, but God who knows the heart." We're going to turn to the book of Nehemiah this morning. I believe that this is a book that opened many times in this platform, but there's always new things from God's word. Amen. There are always deep depths and heights from God's word. So we want to take a look in the book of Nehemiah and see what God has to say to us in this passage. When I was growing up, Nehemiah wasn't a favorite name or a popular name. We know about Moses and we know about Abraham and Noah. But for some reason, I didn't know much about Nehemiah until I became a believer and started looking the Bible, and I see this man, Nehemiah, and he's a very interested man. So we're going to take a look from verse 1. There are 13 chapters in this book, but we just want to look from verse 1. We probably take a little look also in some verses in chapter 2, but we're going to take a look very carefully. Brother Hall would use this term, "Listen to me carefully." I think he wants us to understand basically what he's saying, whether he's wrong or right. Listen to me carefully. That's what he always said to me. I don't know what about you. Listen to me carefully. So we want to take a look at this chapter from verse 1. Nehemiah chapter 1. I think we should ask the Lord blessing before we open the word. Father, we ask you this morning that you will speak to your servant. I pray that you will grant me liberty of speech and freedom of expression so that the church will be edified and that God will be glorified. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And we look at verse 1 of Nehemiah chapter 1, the word of Nehemiah, the son of Hattaliah. And it came to pass in the month Kislew, the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the palace, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah. And I asked him concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, "The remnant that are left of the captivity here in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire." It came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven, and said, "I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God, that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive, and thine eyes be open, that thou mightest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servant, and confess the sins of thy the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dwelt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandment, nor the statutes, nor the judgment which thou commandest thy servant Moses. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, If he transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if ye turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though thou were fewer cast out in the uttermost part of the heaven, yet will I gather them from hence, and I will bring them into the place that I have chose to set my name there. Now these are thy servants and thy people, whom thou had redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hands. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ears be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name. And prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. For I was the king's cupbearer. There are three great offices in the Old Testament that we are very familiar with. The office of a prophet, priest, and king. But as we read in this passage, if you go through this book, you will find that Nehemiah didn't have a title. None of the above was referring to Nehemiah. He wasn't a prophet, he wasn't a priest, and he wasn't a king. What we know of him, he was, in this passage that we just read, the king's cupbearer. Now, a prophet was one who responded, or a prophet was one who represent God to man. And a prophet was, not is, a prophet was one who represents man to God. A priest is one who represents man to God. And we find that a king was one who, under God, ruled over man. Nehemiah didn't have any of these titles. And if you don't have these titles, even today, you may not have a title of a pastor, or you may not have the title of a bishop, or whatever title you may think. If you don't have those titles, you might describe as maybe a lay person. And Nehemiah was in that position. But one thing we know, that Nehemiah was the king's cupbearer. He was a Jewish official in the Persian court, as we know about him. And yes, we know that he served as the king's cupbearer, an influential position, you might say. That was, I think that was a good job. I think that was a prestigious job. Like many of us today, love to know that we have a good job, a good paying job, some kind of prestige. And for those who happen to have those kind of prestigious jobs, sometimes they talk a lot about it. They express themselves that they are in a good position and so on. But what we want to take a closer look and see how God used one man to make a world of difference, not only for himself, but for the entire community. So what we want to look back, I want you to get back at verse 4. First, we heard that the wall of Jerusalem, from verse chapter 1, was broken down, the wall. And whenever time you find a wall is broken down from something, could be your home, you might put up a nice fence or a wall, and if it broke down or anything like that, there's always opportunities for thieves, for people to get in and to destroy your property or to steal from your property and so on and so forth. In this case, it was a tremendous problem. It was a tremendous problem. And I'm not going to go further much into the history of Nehemiah, but there are some points that I really want to bring out this morning. I want you to look go back and verse 4, all right? Remember when Nehemiah heard that the wall was broken down, there is something that Nehemiah did that many of us need to really take seriously as an individual. All right, let me take from verse 3. And they said unto me, when he asked the question, they said unto me, the remnant that are left in the captivity therewith in the providence are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Now, verse 4. It came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept, and mourned certain days, and fast and prayed before the God of heaven. And I said, I beseech you, O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. I want to reverse a little bit and see what's going on here. Nehemiah, for some reason, he take what happened to the folks them in Judah personal. He take it very personal. But when I look at this passage, do you notice that Nehemiah, after received that news, Nehemiah didn't call a prayer meeting to pray about it. Nehemiah didn't call his friends or his neighbors to talk about the situation to see what they can do. Nehemiah didn't do that. Nehemiah take it personally because there is a job to be done, and Nehemiah know if he seek God guidance in this, it will come to pass. Nehemiah, the Bible said, Nehemiah prayed. Do you know what the Bible said about the man that prayed? He said, effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. He didn't say a group. He said, effectual fervent prayer of a righteous. So what we see, Nehemiah take this thing personal. And why did he take personal this thing? Because he have a love for God's people. He loved God's people. A lot of people in church today don't really love God's people. A lot of people in church today, they're just here because they have the privilege of being in church. But deep down, they don't have that love for God's people. And that's a problem. Now, what we see here in Nehemiah, he recognized that there is a problem, and this problem needs to be fixed. And what he did, the Bible said that he prayed. He prayed. Have you ever have a situation and you don't know what to do? The easiest thing for us to do is to call our friends or call our elders or call somebody and say, pray for me. But saints, you can pray. You can pray. There's a God is giving you now, he put an opportunity in front of you. And I'll let you know this seriously. Sometimes you're praying for something, saints. You're praying, and God about to give you, grant you that favor. And what, remember now, you didn't talk to anybody about it. God give you the go ahead. And all of a sudden, you started to talk to Tom, Dick, and Harry. You believe that you can, this brother or this sister, you can be confined in them. And you know what? You think so. And every time you do that, you find that the brother or the sister to whom you put in your confidence in, they sabotage it. They will sabotage it. Because that's how the adversary works. That's how he works. God give you something to do, but you believe that you must have to share it with somebody. And that person that you share it with don't have the same mind like you. Remember, you take time to talk to God. That person to whom you're talking to probably don't have that interest at heart. He don't have your interest at heart. Nehemiah understand these things. And what the Bible said that he prayed and he fasted. And so look on the verse again.
Verse 4, look at verse 4 again. It says, it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept. When was the last time you ever wept before the Lord? When? When was the last time you go and wept before the Lord because there are circumstances before you and you know that you cannot do it by yourself? You know that you need God intervention. When? We all pretend like all is well. Do you know we have a lot of sick people today in our church? But guess what? We were singing the hymns earlier on that we have a God who heals. Do you know that God heals today? Do you know? But we don't preach it. We preach about the love of God and all of these things, and we try to talk about the Bible all the time. But we are not telling a lot of saints in the church that you sit with need prayer because they're going through circumstances, but you're just telling them things to let them feel good. They must know that God still heals. He heals saints. Do you know that the Bible is very clear that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? So do you believe that the Holy Spirit wants to have a body that is not well? And that's what I'm saying. You have to spend quality time with God in prayer. And when you do that, God will work. Nehemiah, for this plan that he had to go back to Judah, to Jerusalem, to build this wall, Nehemiah spent time in prayer. History lets us know that he planned and prayed about 4 months before this plan was executed. Nehemiah find himself praying as a Jew. Do you know that the Jews, they pray 3 times a day, every day? Do you know that? The Muslims, they pray 7 times a day, every day. I don't know about us as Christians. Now, if you go to a Jewish synagogue right now, it's open. It's never closed with a lock and key. Why? Because it's open for people to come in and pray. They come in and pray. For us, we put lock and key. When we finish here, we don't come back again until next Sunday. The place is locked up. Saints, this is God's house where he wants to meet with you. Amen. What we do, we find ourselves always going to the hospital, to the doctor's office. Amen. And that's where we always love to go. We put more confidence in the doctors than God. That's what we do. We will never forget the appointments that we have tomorrow with the doctors. We'll never forget. And we were reminded. My wife will, don't forget you have a doctor's appointment tomorrow. Don't forget that you have a doctor's appointment next week. Nobody realized that you have an appointment with God. You are here this morning. You have an appointment with God. You think everything is okay. You're only pretending like things are okay. Things are not okay. You're only pretending. And God knows that you are pretending that all is well. All is not well. We should be on our knees praying and to see the glory of God. Nehemiah, there is a job to be done. Nehemiah didn't call a crowd. Look at verse 5. Hear what he said. I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love and observe his commandment. Let thine ear be attentive and thine eyes open, that thou mightest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before you now, day and night, saints, for the children of Israel, thy servant, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned. You see, Nehemiah didn't take this personally. He didn't point in hands about anybody else that not living right. He said, we We have dwelt very corruptly against you and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgment which thou commandest thy servant Moses. We, not him or she, we, the church don't make up in one. The church make up with a group of people. We. So if there's a person, a brother or sister is hurting in the church, we all supposed to feel the pain. We all. But we, you know what we do? We turn our back and criticize. And that's what we do. You cannot have an elder church if we're not looking out for one another. It doesn't matter who we are. And that's what God wants us to know. We must have to share one another's burden. We must have to share one another's burden. But there are four keys things that I want to share with you from this passage that we just read in the context of prayer. This prayer that Nehemiah prayed was a prayer of perspective. A prayer of perspective. You hear what he said? I beseech you, O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God, that keepeth covenant and mercy to them that love and observe thy commandment. A prayer of perspective. But there is also another, a prayer of personal confession. You hear what he said? We have sinned. A prayer of personal confession. That's how you come to God, saints. You don't come to God like you know it all. You don't pretend like all is well. You come to God broken. The Bible said a broken and a contrite heart he will not despise. You must come to God broken. Don't come to God as if that you're better than anybody else. He knows your heart. He knows your thoughts. He knows everything about you. So let us be humble. Be humble in the presence of God. Don't believe that you're better off than anybody else. No, we're all one in Christ. Nehemiah recognized all of these things, so he come broken and he said, we have sinned. We have dealt treacherously before you. So Nehemiah, so this prayer, the prayer of personal confession. Guess what? Nehemiah have a job to get done. And he knows that this is going to take God and God alone to open the door. This is a major construction supposed to get done. Major construction. And I don't hear Nehemiah is complaining about where the money coming from. I don't hear Nehemiah is wondering how much it's going to cost. Nehemiah prayed to God, and the difference was made. So we see here a prayer of personal confession. But this prayer was also a prayer of purpose. A prayer of purpose. Don't play with God like you don't know what you have in your heart. Don't pretty up prayers. Don't pretty up things before God. He already knows what you pray, what you ask before you ask him. So you don't need to pretty it up. Just come to God as you are. As you are. He knows your heart. Don't try to look good. You're not blessing the church when you pray pretty, you know. Have nothing to do with the church. It has to do with you and God. And this is a prayer of perspective, a prayer of personal confession, a prayer of purpose. A prayer of purpose. And the fourth, a prayer of persistence. Nehemiah prayed. The Bible said that men are always to pray and not to faint. Pray always and not to faint. Pray without ceasing. You can't have an agreement with God, and you know that's the only way to talk to him, and only once in a while you go on your knee and ask God for help, you have a situation. Spend time with God in prayer. Nehemiah said he fast and he wept. He fast and he wept. Many of you don't even know, like the word fasting. Many of you don't like the word fasting. When you fast, you're not fasting to anybody. You're talking to God. So if you stay away from some food or whatever to spend time, quality time with God, it will be profitable. It will be more than profitable. Why I'm saying that is because these are biblical principles. Whatever Nehemiah prayed for, everything was granted to him. Everything was granted to him. Many of us saints, we are too sophisticated. And because of our ways and so on, we are not seeing the glory of God among us. We are not seeing God working among us. We are too much to ourselves. And that's the problem. So we find that Nehemiah, he prayed. God answers prayer. I went to the last conference that they have in Manhattan, not some months ago. And I happened to go downstairs in the bathroom. Sometimes you want to use the bathroom before meetings start because conference is usually long. I went into the bathroom and there I happened to see a man down there using the bathroom, a older man. And he was doing the same thing that I want to do, really. But I heard, for some reason, he was talking to himself. The man was talking to himself, a nice brother, but I never met him, so I don't know his name. He was talking to himself. But he was talking to himself as if he wanted me to hear what he's saying. And I'm just there doing my thing, and he said, I'm not giving up. I'm not going to give up. And then it kind of catched me because I realized that, you know, he wants me to join the conversation. He said, I'm not going to give up. And then I get to realize he has a stomach problems. And he said he'd been praying. He'd been praying about the stomach problem. And he said, but I'm not going to stop praying. I said, no, bro. And then I catch it. I said, no, my brother. That's why the Bible said that men ought always to pray. I said, as scripture just started coming up in my mind, and I know I use a couple of them, but one of them I use that I quote earlier on, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous, the righteous availeth much. And I say, keep praying, my brother, keep praying. But if you don't have a problem, you won't know that God could solve it, right? Well, I'm going to give you a quick testimony of myself. And I was able to share it with the brother. Many years ago, I went to the dentist. I shared with my saints at church. I went to the dentist, and when, you know, all of us scared of dentists. I don't know if you don't, but I am. And he put me in the chair and everything. You go in all the way in the back. You know what I'm talking about, the wisdom tooth. All the way in the back. And I'm also scared. I opened my mouth so wide with scared and hold on, and my whole jaw slipped. It just get out of place. No, I wasn't feeling any pain at the time. There was no pain. I just know that I only clicked something slip out. I wasn't feeling any pain. But months later, I started to feel some bad pain. I can't hardly eat. I can't chew my mouth. I can't open. All my beloved wife know, because I don't tell anybody else but her. And it just keep, everybody think all is well with me, but it wasn't well. I was able to speak, yes, but eating was a problem. Now, while I'm sharing this with you, I'm talking to the man the same thing. And also, there was something came up in my face, another on my left side here, another big thing. It just keeps growing, and I keep wondering what to do about it. I try a lot of things. They said to me that the doctor said, you must have to take surgery there. Also, they say you must have to do surgery here. But you know, I know that I serve a God who heals. And even though when they are telling me all of that, my sense is pray. Just keep praying. And saints, I go on my knees and I put one on one ear and pair, and I said, Lord, you're the one that created me in my mother's womb. You're the one that formed me. You're the one that knows me more than I know myself. You are the great physician. You must heal it. Saints, and I keep praying. And guess what? Guess what? Guess what? I just happened to wake up one morning, this pain no more. This swelling gone. Saints, I didn't have to ask for no surgery. God was my surgeon. Saints, a lot of you here this morning having physical problems, and you don't realize that God can heal you. God can heal your problems. Don't believe that the problem is too hard for God, but you have to seek Him. You have to seek God. You can't just pray. You can't just ask Him one little time and then next week again you ask Him. You have to be consistent. So what we find here with Nehemiah, persistency. Persistent. You must be persistent with God. You must have this relationship with Him that you are persistent with Him. You talk a lot with your friends. You're very persistent by talking against them. You're always talking bad things against your friends or your brothers and sisters. You're persistent in doing this. So why can't you be persistent in asking God to heal you? He can heal you. You put more trust in doctors than God. And saints, if you put trust more in doctors than God, all right. You will live with your problems. After speaking to that man, his face started to get brighter. You know why? Because I'm telling him something that personally happened to me. After the meeting over, I happened to go back down to the bathroom because guess what? I'm going to drive now all the way from Brooklyn to come. So I want to make sure I use the bathroom. Saints, I end up the same man in the bathroom. Just me and him only again. So he smiled with me and he said, thank you. Thank you, brother. Thank you. That means a lot to him to know that you can share a personal testimony about the healing power of God. Amen. He said, thank you. In my thinking, nothing what those other preachers said on the platform mean anything to him. Nothing. Nothing what the preachers they say on the platform minister to his problem. But when a person, I just said, my brother, I have issues and God heal it, He can heal yours. That's all you need to know. Nothing else than to know that God is still healed today. Whether you like it or not, Amen. He will heal if you ask Him to. Because He's God. I'm not telling you that every problem that you have, He will take it away. Of course not. I'm not telling you that you mustn't go to the doctors, because He gave doctors wisdom to take care of you. I'm saying all of that. I want to be balanced now. I don't want it to look like I'm saying that don't go to the doctors. Oh, no. God is the one who gave doctors wisdom to provide the right medicine for you. I have had headache. As I went to the pharmacy and get some tablets, before long that headache gone. I didn't provide that tablet for myself. Somebody else did it. God worked through medicine. But I'm only letting you know that God can heal you of all your problems. He can. Nehemiah, in chapter 2, you remember, during that time of praying, Nehemiah have to face this king. The last verse that we read here, it said, O Lord, in verse 11, it said, O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant, and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name, and prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. So Nehemiah knew that he must have to go to his boss. Nehemiah knew that he must have to go to the king to ask him for time. And by praying, God already set the stage, saints. God already prepared the king to give Nehemiah exactly what he asked for and more. Do you see the God? Do you know the God to whom we serve? Nehemiah went to the king as a king cupbearer. And I'm saying to you that it is a prestigious job. That's what I'm saying. It is. Nehemiah had the privilege of walking about or enjoying the entire palace. But that job, even though it was a prestigious job, even though it was a good job, Nehemiah, as the king cupbearer, if somebody trying to kill the king and put poison in that wine, you know who's going to die first? Nehemiah. So even though it was a good job and a prestigious job, it was a job too that you could lose your life. So what we find here is that the privilege that Nehemiah have, that king have to trust him. The king have to trust Nehemiah. Trust him. Have you have anybody in the church that you really trust? Do anybody that sit with you or anybody at all that you can truly say, I trust this brother, I trust this sister? Saints, if you can't find that, we are in trouble. We are in big trouble if we can't find that in the church. The king must have to put his trust in Nehemiah. Because guess what? Anybody could try to kill him. And so we find. So what we see here with Nehemiah, he was a king's cupbearer. But the project, remember now, he approached the king, and the king saw him with a sad countenance. And the king was saying to him in chapter 2, in a couple of verses there, what he was saying to him, I never see you like that. It gotta be some problems you have. Some problems. But guess what? Because of Nehemiah praying and constantly praying, God put Nehemiah in front of the king, and the king saw Nehemiah's need. What is your request? What is your request? If you're in need, my brother, you don't have to make the whole world know that you're in need. No. You don't need to do that. God knows your need. And he will provide. He will open doors. So what we find here is that Nehemiah was the king's cupbearer. Then he became, remember now, he's now leaving. The king gave him everything that he needed, more than what he even asked. He even gave him escort. More than what he asked for. Because God was in it. God, remember, he prayed. God was in it. So guess what now? Nehemiah now is moving from the king's cupbearer to what? A building engineer. Because now he become a building engineer. I'm going to be now the project manager. So he moved now from one stage, from the king's cupbearer to now to the building engineer. He was the one now who is in charge of the entire construction. You see how God is working? And I believe that he liked that position better than being the king's cupbearer. And guess what? And guess what, saints? God even elevated him more. From the king's cupbearer, remember now, the wall take, what, 52 days to build, right? Because why? Why take only 52 days to build? Because the people have a mind to work. Can you find those people sit with you today? Can you find those people who have a mind and willing to work? And guess what? After 52 days, all of this construction was up. But remember now, he went through a lot of problems, in spite of the opposition. Don't believe that anything that you're doing for the Lord, people won't oppose it. Your very brother and sister will try to sabotage it. Amen. Don't believe that everything's going to go smooth. Oh no, that's when God will get your glory, when they are trying to sabotage you, but God said, listen, I am in charge. No project is too hard for God. You want to do a building and you're worried about where the money is coming from? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Anything? What you're not doing, you're not praying. God will do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you even ask or think, according to the power that worketh in you. That's what it is. He become, not only he was a cupbearer, then he become a building engineer, but he also become governor. So he was moving from one stage to another. Within that short space of time, this man have all these titles now. Not the cupbearer anymore, because he was willing to go to Jerusalem to rebuild the wall. He now become a project manager. And from a project manager, he become the governor of this. It's only God can do such a thing. But you have to be willing to step out of your comfort zone. You think you're only here just to dress up nice and come to church and just to sing nice songs? There's a lot for us to do, but we are lazy. We don't want to do what God, we're scared for some reason, and we worried. Nehemiah, he was a Jewish man, and yet we find that he was willing to go and go through the obstacles. Despite opposition, Nehemiah's leadership was effective. Despite opposition, opposition was not only from Sambalat and Tobiah, these men, but also from his own people. From his own people. Nehemiah's leadership was effective, and he is remembered for his courage, devotion, and ability to inspire people to build their city and community. He was inspired to build. His leadership also worked alongside with King, Ezra was a priest, and he was able to work alongside Ezra to get the things in order, and so on and so forth. So we find that his legacy, your legacy, when you, saints, leaving a legacy, very important. Leaving a legacy behind you, it is very important. Unfortunately, all of us don't leave good legacy. Some of us legacy is no good. But there are some that is. Nehemiah's story serves as an example of how one individual have the significant, put a significant impact in restoring both physical and spiritual into a community. So saints, what I'm saying to you today is this. It does not matter what problem you have. It doesn't matter what situation you find yourself in. It is very important that you seek God. Seek God, because nothing is too hard for him. Nothing. I'm going to close with Matthew chapter 6. And you remember what we're looking at here. We were saying that this prayer was a prior perspective, right? It was a prior personal confession. All of this wrapped up in Nehemiah's prayer. A prayer of purpose and a prayer of persistence. I want to take you back to the Lord's Prayer that we read in Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to close from there. We're going to look in Matthew chapter 6 and look at the Lord's Prayer. You remember the disciples asked him, Lord, teach us how to pray. And
When we come to God, it's important that we understand these things. Now, in Matthew chapter 6, let's take it from verse 9. Hear what it said. After this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. People often reduce this prayer to empty recitation. And that's why not only Christians, this prayer, to many people, they use it as an empty recitation. It's something that we recite. But God is warning us that, tell us the opposite. If you look at verse 7 in the same book, look at verse 7. Because that's exactly what the Lord tells us not to do. In verse 7, what it said. But when you pray, use not vain repetition as the heathen do. For they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Use not vain repetition. Be not ye therefore like unto them. For your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask. Your Father knew. So the prayer is composed of six requests. I said six requests. This prayer is composed, this same Lord's Prayer is composed of six requests. And the first three asks for the kingdom to come. That's the first three. We find in 9, verse 9 and 10. And then we find that the second three is that God to meet the needs of his people. Right? So we find what we see, the first three is that the kingdom to come, and then the other three need that God will meet the needs of his people until the kingdom arrive. That's what you see in verse 11, if you look at verse 11, and so on. So what we see here in verse, we said, our Father. So we come to God, you know, very respectfully, our Father. God is approached confidently as a caring Father. Our Father. So we approach him with respect. Our Father. Very important, saints. Hallowed. In the context of intimacy with God, hallowed be thy name. The intimacy with God, hallowed be thy name. So what we see here, we see God as someone that we show respect. Hallowed be thy name. The intimacy with God, there's also the respect and recognition of his uniqueness or his deity. That's how we see him. As we see him as his uniqueness or as his deity. Hallowed means that God is holy, set apart, unique in his character and his attributes. So that's how we approach him. We approach him as our heavenly Father who knows our needs. Your kingdom come. The reference here is to God's program and promises. Saints, whatever your situation may be, God is bigger than it. Whatever you are experiencing in your body, the pain will hit you from time to time. God is bigger than it. Whatever disease that you may have, because remember now, Satan can afflict you with things to keep you away from spending time with God. Saints, God is bigger than all of these things. All you need to do is to put your faith and trust in him, because he's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you even ask or think, according to the power that worketh in you. May God bless you for his name's sake.